You're with The Record. I'm Marcy Silman. University of Washington students don't start fall term classes until next month, but that doesn't mean university business grinds to a halt in the summer. Yesterday, University of Washington President Michael Young dropped by our studios. We talked about a slew of issues, but we started with the national debate about sexual assault on college campuses. Young told me the UW made sexual assault prevention a priority back in 2013 when he put together a campus-wide task force.
I think it is a real issue, and I think what's critical about it is raising awareness so that everybody understands it's everybody's responsibility. I mean, the likelihood of being assaulted is highest during your first 3 weeks on campus. So ensuring that the kids are watching out for each other, ensuring that they have an understanding of the consequences of excessive drinking, all those things that we can do, and then ensuring that if anything does happen, we have adequate response mechanisms, counseling services, ways of disciplining students who may have been involved. All of that is really critical. And I think we're somewhat ahead of the curve on this because we've been doing it, as they say, much longer than it actually appeared in the national news.
Many schools are initiating mandatory awareness orientation type things, and they go from the gamut from sort of role-playing demonstrations to literature to technology apps that will help students who believe that they are in some sort of danger. What specifically have you put in place in addition to this task force?
Well, we have a series of things. I mean, certainly an much more intense orientation has been part of it to help students understand the risk. But as I say, also to ensure that we're all aware of the problem and we're all watching out for it, because it often happens in a circumstance where somebody else may be in a better position to see that there's sort of danger, or at least it's a problematic situation, and getting them to be responsive when that happens, sort of like encouraging your friends to fasten their seatbelts, sort of thing. And then we've also created much easier kind of portals for students who feel threatened or have felt attacked to be able to access all the services, get the counseling, understand how they can make complaints and make others aware of it, so that it's a much more seamless process rather than having to search around the university to do that.
I know one of the criticisms nationwide has been appropriate disciplinary action taken against assailants. How does that work here? Is there a set out process for each instance, or how does it go?
There is a process that if the student brings a complaint, we certainly initially the student can work with counselors and so forth and get in front of a committee comprised of largely a faculty and some students. Very thoughtfully constructed committee. I just reviewed a couple of their decisions very recently, and they do everything they can to ensure that the facts are on the table as much as possible, that the victim does not feel re-victimized. They'll even have the testimony out of the presence of the alleged perpetrator and things like that. And then those decisions can be appealed as well. But we have this pretty carefully thought out process where students can actually bring those. They're difficult, though, because you often don't have witnesses. You often have alcohol involved. And so they're often hard to adjudicate, but it's a very good committee.
Do you have any kind of measurement to see how it has impacted the rate of sexual assault?
Well, it's hard to say. To be perfectly honest, we would consider an increase in sexual assault allegations as a victory. Not because we think there are more sexual assaults, but the fact that people feel more comfortable coming to us if they fear these kinds of things have occurred or these problems have occurred to somebody else. And so if the rate were zero, we'd be very worried that the problem is not that it's actually zero, but that it's tremendous underreporting. So we monitor the number of complaints. We particularly work with any organization where we think there's likely to be activities that may involve alcohol and so forth to make them aware of the consequences. And then we work also closely with the local police, because if there's an actual assault, these are not merely offenses against the Code of Student Conduct. These are crimes.
I'm speaking with University of Washington President Michael Young. This month, a federal judge ruled that the NCAA's rules prohibiting college athletes from being paid for the use of their names, images, and likenesses violates antitrust law. We have a large athletic program. How is this ruling going to affect us here at the University of Washington?
One of the things that we have been trying to do in the Pac-12, and something that I've actually been arguing for all of the years I've been here in Washington, is that there are things that we could do that would better help our students have a better experience. Expand the capacity for meals, something as simple as that, as well as give them a little bit of extra money so that given the fact that they can't work outside of their athletic obligations, that they would have some walking around money. But also reduce the length of the seasons in some of these cases. Put strict limits and enforce the limits on the number of practice hours, things like that, because resources are necessary to create the really high-end athletic programs. Creating those high-end athletic programs then allows us to support lots of other athletic programs too. But I think being fair to the students is absolutely critical, and it's something that I say I've been arguing for some time, and I think we're finally getting some flexibility to do it.
What do you think the role of athletics plays at a major university like this one?
Well, I think it does a number of things that are really nice. I mean, I think it is sort of a galvanizing focus for students, for alumni, for people at the university to kind of come together on a common ground and sort of celebrate the life of the university. It's a surrogate for many, many other things, I think, to be sure. I think it also permits us to find ways to generate some revenue that allow us to educate 650 kids who we otherwise might not be able to provide scholarships and assistance to. And I think that's a really good thing. It keeps alumni engaged, and when they're engaged, they're more likely to support the other parts of the university. I mean, our average donor to athletics gives 1.5 times as much to the academic parts of campus than they do to athletics, and that's really useful too.
A lot of observers have wondered over the years why the University of Washington football coach should be the highest paid state employee. I believe our new coach, Chris Peterson, still is in that category. Is what you've just talked about a justification for that salary?
Well, I think it's – I mean, we live as we do with our professors and everybody else. We live in a market. As we just discovered in the O'Bannon case, antitrust laws really do matter. And so being able to compete for the best, whether it is a football coach or a professor, is important, I think, to the quality of what we do. And I think this coach we've got seems to be a person of tremendous integrity and character, discipline, and I think the tone that a coach sets is very important. I mean, our athletes overall graduate even in slightly higher rates than the average student body does. The data suggests that they generally have somewhat more success, if you count that purely in financial terms, in life, than the average college graduate. These programs teach a lot, and I think getting the right person in to do that's important, and it's important to win.
And theoretically, Chris Peterson's going to make the Huskies win.
We're certain of that.
Michael Young, president of the University of Washington. We'll hear more of my conversation with President Young throughout the month. Students head back to class at the University of Washington at the end of September.